Timey kangaroo down, sport. Timey kangaroo down.
Nobody wants a hand job.
I'm a generous lover.
Very gross.
Hello and welcome. We're back. It is the Baller Lifestyle Podcast from theballerlifestyle.com. I'm the host. My name is Brian Beckner. You should know who I am by now. But if this is your first listen, I'm introducing myself to you. Nice to meet you. Thank you for joining us. Joining us now, as always, the co-host of the show, of course, talking about our very own Ed Daly. Ed, how are you, buddy?
I am full of anger for James Dolan, the owner of the Knicks.
He's a real dummy. He made his money in cable TV. Is he a cable TV magnate?
Being the son of the guy who started Cablevision.
Right.
So his money is from cable, but his money wasn't earned. He was just a rich kid. And it's just the amazing thing to me with any of these dumb sports owners, and I'm really hoping Dolan has said some really racist things that they can bounce him like Donald Sterling.
Remember that.
That was so sweet for Clippers fans.
Yes, it was nice.
It's like, oh, great, he's a racist. Let's get him the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's hard to believe, and I happen to root for teams that have the owners. I mean, many of these owners are bad, but I think Dolan is the worst in sports. But it's like, how do you think this is the right environment? How do you think this is going to ever turn into a winner? Like, how do these guys not look at the winning teams and see how they're run, like the Spurs, and like think, I'm gonna go my own way. I'm gonna do these, be petty and all this other stuff. Like he essentially told one of maybe the most beloved Nick of the last 40 years.
Yeah,
he bought his own seat because Oakley will go on these shows. They'll call in, whoever.
Mike and the Mad Dog.
Right. Any of these shows that
Boomer and Carton.
Yeah. Or, National, Dan Patrick or whoever. Mm. And he'll be honest about the Knicks. And Dolan, Dolan will be mad that he's critical of how things are run. And then he, tried to get him kicked out of a game that he bought his own ticket to.
Yeah, that's fucked.
And do not fuck with Charles Oakley. That guy had nine security guards needed to take him down.
Yeah, he's a big, scary dude. It's one of those things where if you just let him sit there and watch the game, nothing happens. No one knows about it. No one is like, oh, he got over on you, James Dolan. He sat there. He bought a ticket to watch a game. But bigger picture, you're the legends of your team. Personal conflicts aside.
They won a title in 73. That's the last time they won. So then the best teams since that time are the Oakley Ewing Starks team. They made the finals. And Oakley was the guy that everyone loved. Patrick Ewing, people loved, but they also were let down by him because he was not he was not Michael Jordan. But Oakley, everyone loved that guy. And
he's a lunch pail guy.
Yeah, and you should be trying to, really all the Knicks have is nostalgia. So sell Oakley. Instead, they're celebrating their 70th anniversary, and they were specifically leaving Oakley out because he was critical of the team. And, don't fuck with Oakley. That guy will take you down.
I saw this week that the Clippers went for $2 billion. $2 billion. And the Clippers, I think it might have been 2.2. And the Clippers.
It's crazy.
They don't own the building. They're renters. They're not nearly the most popular NBA team in that building.
This is they share the same building as the Lakers?
Yeah, they play at Staples Center.
I didn't even know that.
It's and they've had opportunities to move to Orange County and kind of have their own thing, and maybe they'll move to Seattle. Whatever. That's not the point. If the Clippers are worth $2 billion, does that mean the Knicks and Lakers are worth $102 billion?
The thing about the Knicks, just horrendous as they are, they're full every night.
Yeah. it's just a license to print money. The Marlins, terrible, are supposedly on the block and have a potential buyer at $1.6 billion. The Marlins.
I really, there's very few moments that I watch any parts of a Marlins game because if I'm watching any baseball, it's going to be an Oriole game. They almost never play the Marlins. But anytime you see a crowd shot, like nobody's even there.
No one goes.
Nobody cares about that team.
My buddy lives in Miami, and sometimes he'll go to the game and it'll be like an afternoon. I think we've talked about this here before. And you're allowed to bring your dog.
Like I'm sure he can just make a decision on the fly, be like, you know, I'm going to show up for the game, $20.
With my 115-pound Doberman, and we're just – the two of us are going to go to a game, and I'm going to take a selfie and send it to my buddy Brian. Like that's – you know, like things aren't going that well if you're letting people bring your dog. That's all I'm saying.
That's true.
Something that hit me – you know who Alex Jones is?
He is that crazy – he's a truther in every – like he thinks – people made up stories about their kids being shot at a school.
I know. And I was
unbelievably evil.
I know. And I was like, oh, he's not that bad. And then because I had explained to Francis also who he was. And I'm like, he's just doing like the rest of these guys. He's just doing a character to rile up dumbs. And then which is what he's doing. But then I remember the whole Sandy, like he's a truther about Sandy Hook, which is so fucked.
I mean, that's one of the most fucked things. One of the most fucked things that's ever happened in our country. Well, it really is one of the worst.
And I was thinking, well, you know, this. Luckily, we're not going to have to deal with this guy too much longer because you know he's in his late 70s and he's you know how much longer can this guy do a radio show or whatever on the internet? And then I saw this weekend, the dude had a birthday. And if you're listening to this show and you don't know who Alex Jones is. Just Google a picture of him right now, Alex Jones. He's very popular on the internet. Very dumb people listen to what he says and they believe it. So this guy had a birthday this weekend, and we need some trutherism for Alex Jones because I saw this guy had a birthday, and how fucking old is this guy? I thought he was like in his mid to late 50s.
I would say. Floor 55.
Yeah.
He could be 60. He could be 60.
Yeah. I was thinking like 55, 57. You know, like he's younger than he looks, but he's lived pretty hard. Guy just turned a young 43 years old. Ed.
No. He needs to be getting some sleep.
I'm nearing my 42nd birthday myself. Like this guy's born 1 year before me. 43? I can't buy it. I need to see the documents. Who's got the documents?
That's right. Like, that's right. Yeah, show me the documents.
There has to be some documents somewhere.
What country is he from?
Yes. There's just no way this guy is 43 years old. I need a truther movement on Alex Jones's age because it's just shocking to me.
I did see because the new season kicked off. I saw a few articles about John Oliver, and once again, they kept saying 39-year-old John Oliver.
That's crazy.
How am I older than that guy?
Crazy. I know.
But he does not look 39.
Totally. A couple years ago, I remember hearing that he was 37, and I was like, what? No, is that a different John Oliver? Is that like his younger brother? Like, what? Yes, not. It just, you know, some people, like I – will always be a kid, you know, like I'm a kid man. I'll never feel like or look like somebody's dad. I'm just not that kind of person. And some guys are just like John Hamm. John Hamm, for the longest time, couldn't get cast in anything in Hollywood.
Right. He was never 21.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause he looked like somebody's 42-year-old dad and he didn't look old. He just was a fucking man probably since he was 15.
Clooney.
Yeah. Clooney.
Yeah, he was just a man.
And he had that gray hair on Facts of Life.
Yeah, yeah, he was George the handyman or something like that.
Some guys are just – but I need a truther movement. Alex Jones, I need to see the documents because there's no way that guy's 43. Shut the fuck up. Okay, Ed, we got to jump into some emails. We got a lot of catching up to do.
Okay.
Last couple weeks, we have flown solo or without the, our wing woman.
How's it looking tonight?
I don't know. I just got a text that she was waylaid, but not as bad as she typically is waylaid.
Okay.
So I believe she's going to be here. And if there's time, for those of you that patronize this show, that contribute via our Patreon page, The Baller Lifestyle, on patreon.com, if you contribute there, I believe the floor level is $5 a month. If you contribute at a $5 a month level, which is like $1.25 a show, then you are privy to our special Patreon-only content. And a lot of people, and I don't know how this is going to go, but we're going to do it. A lot of people have been asking me to play a voicemail so old that it was left on an answering machine. It sounds like it should
like with the tape?
Yes, it sounds like it should be archived in the Library of Congress. Like, it's so old. It's like the Zapruder film of nasty voicemails. So I recorded it onto a handheld recorder when it happened. And this was in the 90s, very long time ago. And it's exciting. Somebody threatening me, somebody telling me that I've ruined their life and all this terrible stuff that they think about me. And I've mentioned it many times and people have hit us up and they're like, hey, play it. Well, I'm going to play it. But I'm only going to play it for people that give us money. So you have to go to The Baller Lifestyle.
The quality move.
Patreon.com/TheBallerLifestyle. This is a Twitter guy's idea. Whoever, I don't know who that was, but whoever said that on Twitter, you're a hero.
All right, but I want to be able to hear it because last time we did Patreon only, I didn't get to hear it.
I know. I thought about that.
Because I don't contribute to the show. I know.
You're so selfish, Ed. I'll email when we finish. I mean, you're here.
Okay.
You're going to hear everything.
Yeah.
You're not going to be like, oh my God. Although that does happen sometimes where I'll be editing the show and then I'll hear something you said and I'll laugh real hard and I'll be like, oh, I didn't hear that the first time. So you know what I'll do? For you only, I'll email it to you. Oh, and for anyone else that's not a Patreon subscriber, if you reach out to me at mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com, I will email it to you also for $1,000.
Fair. Fair, completely fair.
I will email it to you for free. Anyone else that's not a Patreon subscriber, I will email it to you as well for the sum total of $1,000 US. So that's something to look forward to. That's something that's up. Okay, Ed, emails. This one's very long, Ed. It's very long. I had to. It's brevity, guys. Go breathe in and out. What's up, guys and gal? Great job with the show. The advice given to Ryan in Laguna Beach is sure to get you into the running for a Marconi. That's right. That's why I wanted to include this email. I forgot.
Oh, yeah.
Do you recall Ryan in Laguna Beach, Ed, and his quandary?
Yeah, I think that the conclusion I made was that he had to break up because it was not going to work. He doesn't want to get married and have kids or something.
Yeah. He was in a situation where this – well – one situation he's in is that he owns two homes. He's balling.
Well, yeah, he did drop his.
He did. He allowed that he owns two homes in two wealthy enclaves of Southern California. So good for you, Ryan. I'm happy for you. But speaking of
owning two homes, my millennial tenants are moving out. I'm really excited about it.
Why? They kept the place nice. They painted. They
painted without asking. They had a party on night one and got all the neighbors mad.
But aren't they like nerds? Aren't they nerdy millennials?
I mean, there's something going on with them. I'm thinking there's some stuff. But they were real annoying. And I was very pleased we got a newly married couple.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, get a bookish couple in there.
Yes, I think that's what we got. Perfect. Seemed very nice. Pleasant emails have been exchanged. I was like, now we can get back to normalcy. These assholes telling me that they don't know how to make ice for themselves because the freezer just doesn't have an ice maker, so they just have the trays, and they didn't understand what that did.
Old school.
They didn't get it. I was like, okay. Well, let me go install a new refrigerator so you can make ice.
Sorry, asshole. As is. Places as is. So this Ryan in Laguna Beach, he was in a quandary, because there's an update with this. Ryan in Laguna Beach was in a quandary, is much younger, very attractive. I follow him on Instagram. He had a very good looking girlfriend.
Yeah. He's the guy you need to ask permission to watch it, look at his picture.
That's true. That's true.
No, not going to do it.
Well, I'll go on and take some screenshots and send them to you. He had a very attractive, much younger. I believe he said he was 39 and the girlfriend was like 10 years younger or something, which is a huge win. But it was also a loss in the sense that he had already done a lot of things in life that she wanted to do, including having children. He had gone through a tough divorce. I'm not here to make fun. It was a hard situation, and he didn't know, she wanted kids. He didn't, basically. And he was trying to convince her, hey, we can have a really great life without, having kids. And I don't think they were able to see eye to eye, because via Twitter, it's my understanding that Ryan in Laguna Beach and his much younger girlfriend have decided to part ways.
Well, again, it's better. It's better to be on the same page.
Yes.
It's just not. It just won't work.
You got to have these hard conversations.
You're not on the same page. It doesn't somehow get back together. Like, it just gets worse.
Totally agree. You have to have these hard conversations. Okay, so that's the reference that this email is making. Then he goes on. He talks a lot about living in Orange County, and he's doing a lot of local references. But he has a list for us. I have assembled the following list of five certainties of the new Orange County populace that I hope to always be excluded from. There will be a follow-up list if you should genuinely enjoy this one. We'll see about that. That I would be more than honored to provide. Without further ado.
So this is an update on people that live in Orange County.
Right. This is an Orange County.
So we've gone regional.
Very regional. I don't know how many listeners we have in Orange County. No, nobody that went to high school with me or that knows me personally listens to this show for some reason. So,
okay, I'm gonna if we're going regional next week, I'm gonna update everybody on the trash and recycling schedule in Hudson County, New Jersey.
Well, that's run by the mob, isn't it?
Probably.
Well, it certainly was in The Sopranos.
Yeah, okay. And I'll let you know when school closings are in my neck of the woods too.
Snow days.
We're gonna go full regional.
Snow days. Certainty number one. If you have a personalized license plate or license plate frame that references surfing, you cannot stand up. I would agree with that. People that are most into things tend to do them the least, or pretend to be most into things tend to do them the least. I would agree with that. Certainty number two, the chick in the Range Rover next to you has swallowed enough Ambien and white wine this morning to put Johnny Manziel into a coma. People aren't driving on Ambien, are they?
It puts you to sleep. Very bad idea.
Yes. Certainty number three. If you don't black out the rims on your truck or SUV, you're pretty much nobody. I feel like that trend's kind of on the way out. It used to be all black rims and like matte painted cars. I don't think I see that as much.
I don't even think I've ever noticed that about rims or anything. I don't know.
Yeah.
To me, I never understood any of that.
Well, look, like maybe next Puerto Rican Day parade, look around at the cars, see what's going on there.
You know what?
Yeah.
It's kind of tough because Puerto Ricans are very coy about whether or not they're Puerto Rican. So it's tough to tell whose car you can never quite tell who's Puerto Rican and who isn't.
It's kind of like people from Boston. Like, how are you ever going to know that someone's from Boston? they keep it such a secret all the time.
I know, they're very subtle folk.
Yeah. Certainty number four, on any given 65-degree day, you will see more North Face puffy jackets than black people. Well, that's our shame. That's our local shame, is we're not very diverse here in Orange County. Certainty number five, according to everyone on the road, no one knows how to drive in the rain. That's pretty much true. It doesn't help that everyone's looking at their phone.
Not a good development. But –
yes,
but again,
that's from maybe Dave in maybe San Clemente.
Californians and Maryland people, why do they love talking about the counties? Like, aren't towns different? Or in counties, like, is everything homogenous?
Because it's so big here and you have to commute everywhere that you're just going, you're swathing over so many towns to get anywhere that it's.
But are like, all the towns the same? Like no. In Orange County, is everything the same?
No, definitely not. I'm from Costa Mesa. It's probably heard of it. That's the cool part of Orange County. I don't know about the rest.
Like, I live in Hoboken. I don't give a shit what's happening in Weehawken or Jersey City. Those are just nearby towns. I don't know. I don't understand what the county obsession. In Maryland, when I got to Maryland, I'd ask where people are from, and they tell me their county. I was like, the fuck is this all about?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm from PG County. I'm from Howard County. It's all about counties.
Yes.
I don't get.
Yeah, we do a lot of county talk here. Okay, thank you for that, Dave. Ballers, late to listen to episode 155, hashtag bad guy, but am a tad confused over Brian's choices in life, aren't we all? When talking about toilet etiquette, Ed brings up the sociopath that live dat if it's yellow, let it mellow life. Brian responds that he, quote, knows who they are. Why does he know them instead of knew them? Clearly, Brian is harboring these monsters, and I am fairly certain that he an accessory to all their future crimes. Also, California no longer has a drought, so we can just flush like 3 times per use just for shits and giggles. Bye for now. That's from Walk Off HPP.
Those people are not people that were doing anything drought related. They're just monsters.
Yeah, they couch it as though, oh yes, no, I'm saving water, but they really just want to. They're just lazy. They just want to leave that urine and just not have to reach their arm, extend their arm over and do a flush, or they don't like the noise of it in the middle of the night. I don't give a fuck. I just flush.
It's really not that loud.
Like, no, it isn't. It's fine.
It's absurd, and I think it must have been a coworker, but I remember the story that a girl's her husband's parents believed in that rule and that like we're staying with them for a week and it
Jesus
was like a Christ. Huge issue. I was like,
Jesus well, you, Christ. Do that I mean, at your own house.
You're not even you're doing this rule in someone else's house. Monsters.
Yeah, I mean just going in and seeing someone else's urine in the bowl is so off-putting.
Yeah, listen, when you leave a bathroom, leave it the exact way you found it.
That's exactly right.
You shit on the floor, you're cleaning it up.
That's exactly right.
Don't leave anything there. Nothing should be left in a bathroom. It should be finished.
Yeah, this Paul HBP makes it seem like I'm harboring like a bunch of hippies in my attic.
He makes a solid point.
Yes. Well, I don't. As far as I'm aware, I don't know any yeah, let like, it mellow.
Unlike
folks.
you're the evil version of Meep Geese. Like you're harboring just monsters in your attic.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, another one. Oh, it's from Writes a Bill. Hello, all the lovers. I'd like to provide a gift on this Valentine's Day to all the unlucky souls out there that can't get some kind of connection with that special lady due to miscommunication or vague circumstance. Let's not end up like Ed at a Bangkok brothel and have an unfulfilled experience. So this is dedicated to Ed and to all the other guys out there that have too much love to give this week. Drop it, B. P.S. We'll understand if you need to pause the show for a minute after this dedication brings a wave of emotion to you to call your wives. Until next time, that's right, Bill. So he's sent along one of his fabulous song parodies. Let me see if I can find it here, Ed. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, here it is.
So we're going Lionel Richie. Is he playing the music? Or is this like karaoke?
I know he plays guitar. This is a piano. This might be a karaoke track.
It's impressive if he's playing this.
I know he has, because I think he's sent a video before. I know that he does
play. No, I know he can play the guitar because he's sent in like an acoustic version. Right. But it would be impressive if he's also able to make it sound like Lionel Richie's.
Right. It is pretty good. Yeah.
Keyboard work.
Yeah. No, I agree. Maybe he's multi-skilled.
Yeah.
Okay.
Went with the extended version.
The dance mix.
I've been alone with you for a long while. But you don't seem to get the things that's on my mind. I think it's time to let my freak flag fly.
Oh.
Hando
is the thing I'm looking for.
Nobody wants a hand job.
Oh, I didn't know if this is meant to be sung to your own hand, but this is someone else's hand. I get it. Okay.
Hey.
Hando.
Is this the intro again?
Did I start it over?
No. I think. I mean, we're back.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's the beginning again.
I did. It's my.
It's a lot of song.
It's my DJ software. I thought I paused it. I don't think I can fast forward. That's
on my mind. Taking it. All right. So it's a guy wanting a hand job on Valentine's Day. To let my freak
flag fly. I mean,
and
how about those guys that are just like. Is a thing to oral. Have they just not had a good blowjob? I mean, I happen to prefer.
Wait, what do you mean?
Some guys are just like, it's okay. Like, take it or leave it on a blowjob.
I mean,
a blowjob's the pinnacle.
To me, it's still the second best thing.
Oh, is it? You like the asshole? That's
number one?
It's number one in your
no.
world?
Oh. No. Oh. No. I like the good old fashioned.
Yes.
I mean, you know, who doesn't love a blowjob? But I find it weird when people crave a blowjob more. That's kind of.
Oh, I like them. I like a nice.
Yeah.
I don't. You know what it is? It's the laziness. I'm just being. Oh, he's done. Hey, writes a bill. Excellent job.
Great job.
Excellent job on that one. I think it's the laziness aspect of it. No work for me. I'm just there.
Yeah,
there. I'm just being tended to.
I like to be. I don't like to be tended to as much as I like being involved.
Oh, really? You're hands on.
Yeah, I like to. I mean, I like giving.
Yeah. Oh, look at you. Look at you. I mean, I also like to give. I'm a generous lover.
Now back.
you'll see if you're a patron. If you're a Patreon.com surprise.
Yeah, but you drove somebody mad. You must
subscriber.
Be
you'll see how well appreciated my lovemaking skills are later.
Now, before the show, you emailed me this, and I started to listen to it, and then I figured I should wait until the show to experience it live. But I did go and watch the Hello video.
Oh, fantastic,
Lionel Richie!
Fantastic. The '80s were great.
I mean, the amount of yayo being consumed
so much
in the creative meetings. So everyone should watch this because, first of all, Lionel Richie's teaching an acting class for a bunch of older people. It's like night school or something. Like, these are not students. It's not college. I don't know what it's like. It must be night school.
These record companies had so much money to spend on, like, that video probably cost $500,000 and it looks like it cost $3,500. Go on.
so they're in acting class and he's like, all right, you're going to play a guy who just gets out of jail and the girl is, you know, and you're trying to pick her up and take her on a date. And they're like talking about like, do you want to go to a Brooklyn Dodgers game? She's like, they don't play in Brooklyn anymore. It's like, it's an absurd premise. And then all of a sudden,
well, there's dialogue.
Yeah. It's like, this is like the first 30 seconds.
Oh,
and you're
my
like,
God,
what the fuck? Lionel Richie is teaching acting to adults.
It's crazy.
It was very confusing.
Yeah.
Then while they're acting, he's like the teacher, and then he just starts staring at the girl and singing Hello.
Yeah.
And he's just singing. And then you find out, like, they pan out and you see she's got the cane and she's blind. But then he gets like a foot away from her face and he's just belting out the lyrics. Oh. And she's showing no reaction, which means they're confusing blind with deaf.
Oh, that's very confusing.
Because she's not registering at all, and he's singing right into her face.
Well, maybe it was like that time Mary J. Blige wanted to serenade Hillary Clinton, right?
The most face-to-face. Awkward scene of all time.
Because that was a similar reaction.
It was very odd like that. But then she goes out into the hallway, and this is why it's not a college, because then they all have lockers in the hallway, like a high school.
Yeah.
But these are like – there's like a 35-year-old guy with his baseball cap backward, and it's like, oh yeah, yeah, we're just going to class, and he's still singing, and then the girl goes to different classes, and it's like she's in pottery class, she's making some clay thing, and then they pan out, then she's in ballet class, and it's like, what kind of night school has ballet and clay and pottery, and it's very odd, and he's just singing at her, and then at the end, and then she's laying in bed at night, and then he calls her. And says hello. He asks her a bunch of questions. Is it me you're looking for? And then she hangs up without registering. So maybe again, she's deaf.
She's dumb.
Yeah.
Is that where you're deaf and blind?
Well, then this is the thing. Then at the end, I think the song cuts out again, and he's like just still like pining away in his acting classroom. The guy's like, "Hey, you got to come into the pottery room. Check this out." And it's the blind chick sitting there with like a bust of. What looks like Ron Perlman with an afro. It doesn't even look like.
I know.
How come no one can
get
jaw.
That? How come no one can get that? Like, only Michelangelo could carve shit and Rodin? Like, what's. Yeah. No one ever looks like the person.
Yeah. But I mean, like, the whole premise of the video had to be, like you said, they spent so much money. They could have hired a sculptor. Instead, they used it all on cocaine. They're like, all right, just get one of the art students to make a Lionel Richie bust. Yeah. So it looks like Ron Perlman guys. With an afro.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I've been thinking of this. And then, like, then I guess we're supposed to think they're in love. And then he sings hello again. Like, he just says hello 50 times in the song. But it's a batshit video. You got to watch. And it's just, he's singing at her like she's deaf. She doesn't register.
You know, I don't it's crazy. The 80s were crazy. Everyone was so coked up. It's just not even, like, every single thing you look at from the 80s doesn't make sense. It's because everyone was on so much cocaine.
Yeah.
I will say this. I don't have much nostalgia for the 80s, and I hate people with a lot of 80s music nostalgia because it's always like Duran Duran and Depeche Mode and everything I fucking hated about the 80s. But I will say this. I've sort of come around on Lionel Richie, and I'm kind of like, oh, dude, that guy's kind of badass. So he's on tour.
Yeah.
I hear you.
I never liked Lionel Richie at the time.
Yeah.
But when I was watching Hello, I was like, oh, this is kind of nice.
Yeah, it's kind of good. The guy wrote a lot of fucking hits.
He's in the Commodores, right?
He's in the Commodores. He stacked a lot of chips. Like, the guy's a legend, and he's pretty badass. And so now he's on tour, and I'm like, oh, I might go check this out. He's playing at the Hollywood Bowl. He's got
That'd be kind of a cool venue.
Yes. He's got Mariah Carey opening up. The Hollywood Bowl's bitching. It's in the summertime. It's warm. It's chill. You see some celebrities there. It's cool. And I looked at the ticket prices.
Oh, is he charging big?
Yeah, just to get in the door. And the Hollywood Bowl probably seats like 8,000. It's not a small venue.
Right. There should be some cheaper options.
Yeah, there should be. And, you know, I don't want to sit way up the top at the benches. So I was looking like middle of the road. You're looking like $350 just to get in the door.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Like, calm down, Lionel. Like, ease up.
I get those emails, like, maybe it's Ticketmaster.
Sure.
And they'll, like, tell you events in your area.
Yeah, who's coming to town.
Yeah, and I got excited about, like, it was some, you know, festival and some good, some bad. But then I was like, but Wu-Tang's there. And I was like, wait a second. I've already been to a Wu-Tang show. And it was the biggest mail-in performance of all time.
Totally.
Hey, let's do a third of our songs. We'll be done. We'll be out of here in 35 minutes.
Yeah, no. Totally. And you got 9 guys on stage and they're smoking blunts. And then there's also
like 30 hype men. Like,
yeah.
You can only sort of tell who Method Man is because he's actually like much taller and he's got the booming voice.
Yeah.
Everybody else, like, they're not trying, so you can't quite tell their voice unless you're real close. Like, you might be able to tell RZA, but like, you're not sure what's going on. It's a lot of chaos. And then Method Man.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I love Ghostface, but like, man, he probably said, 2 words and then was like, just yeah, everybody's going, yeah. And I was like, what's going on?
Got his check.
And I think one of them, it was like 2 days before Christmas, and my buddy and I went, and it was like, well, I think one of them was like, yeah, we got to go Christmas shopping. And like, they really just like, we're off the stage in like 35 minutes. It's like, that just happen? I mean, fucking Wu-Tang.
It really
Method
makes...
Method Man did, like, the Method Man song all right. in its entirety. Everything else was, like, a third of a song, and they just blended them all together. It was...
Did like a medley. Makes you miss ODB. Remember when ODB used to roll around on MTV like collecting his welfare checks?
Yeah.
In a limousine.
ODB. I'm actually wearing an ODB t-shirt right now.
Nice. Speaking of singers, Ed.
We got a good one.
I didn't know that they still played the Davis Cup, but I'm really, really glad they did because there was a nice performance at that, right?
Well, you know what? It was not. I thought it was Davis Cup. It's something called Fed Cup. I guess
better. Same difference.
But I assume it's the same.
It's where countries play each other.
Right. Well, this past week in Hawaii, or maybe the Fed is the women's version of it.
Could be. The Federation Cup. Yep.
So this past week in Hawaii, Germany and the U.S. squared off in a Fed Cup match, and before play started, Will Kimball, a local opera singer, opened festivities up by singing the German national anthem. He sang the first verse from Deutschlandlied, which was written in 1841 and is still Germany's anthem. However, the modern version only uses the third verse because the initial stanza, which includes Deutschland, Deutschland, Über alles, Über alles in der Welt.
Germany overall.
Germany, Germany above all, yeah, above all in the world.
Yes.
It was used as Nazi propaganda.
That's right.
Now, while the anthem was being performed, the German players tried to sing over the usual verses over it.
Oh, yeah, they know. No one knows better than the Germans.
We were left shocked and didn't know how to react, Andrea Petkovic said. The USTA apologized and promised it would never happen again. I thought it was the epitome of ignorance. I've never felt more disrespected my whole life, let alone in Fed Cup. As I've played Fed Cup for 13 years now, and it's the worst thing that's ever happened to me. Now, Brian, what's worse? Singing a verse of a song that is still used? Singing the wrong verse of a song that's still used? Or trying to pretend the Holocaust didn't happen?
Oh, it's so close. The only thing I think is when someone says that hearing the wrong anthem is the worst thing that's ever happened to them, that's someone that's never shit their pants.
Because nobody's been on the wrong end of a Code Brown.
Because that's typically the worst thing that's ever happened to you. And it's happened to most people. And when it happens to you, it's the worst thing that's ever happened to you.
And also, it's the song. It's the correct song. You just sang the wrong verse.
Just get a new song. How about this? I've had enough of anthems. I've definitely had enough of God Bless America at the seventh inning stretch.
That was the 9/11 change, right?
Yeah, but yeah, it went on forever. I believe it's still happening. I believe we're still running that out there, and it's
a bad song. Star Spangled Banner is a bad song with bad verses too.
Yeah, totally agree.
If you've got a crummy verse, get a new song. I mean, pretty much everything but O Canada is a really shitty song.
O Canada's the shit. That's a fucking good one.
That's like the only anthem that's good. Everything else is really like, it's not well written. Like, even though every rest stop in Maryland says Francis Scott Key rest stop and this and that, he was a shitty songwriter.
Yeah.
He was bad.
Well, wasn't even meant to be a song. Like, wasn't it just like
he was pulled up during the war of 1812.
Yeah,
I think he was just like getting. Yeah, he's just like all getting bombarded and he wrote some crummy song or whatever it was.
Yeah, but I think he just wrote like a sonnet and then later someone put it to music is the deal. That's why it sucks so bad because it wasn't meant to be sung. They took the words and put it to the tune of another song. Somebody out there correct me. Right. I think I'm right. It's a shitty song. It's like patriotism. We're all patriotic. Can we just all agree we're all patriotic? We all love the country. Nobody's,
well, that's why we're here.
We're all good with it.
We're here.
Yeah.
And also, you know, Germany, like, get over yourselves. Like, you're going to have to wear the Holocaust for a long time.
That's the thing. That's their shame. They wear it. They know about it. And that's why they don't want you singing the wrong song because it's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. But, like, it's embarrassing. Do you think people are going to let us forget Trump?
No. Like, 70 years from now, we're going to
have the
same problems.
We'll be hearing about this shit forever. Yeah. So any bad thing that happens, you've got to wear it. Yeah, it's
totally.
It's just like, you know, the guys who play for Penn State Sandusky is part of their legacy, whether or not it happened a long time ago. Right. Sorry, it's just the way it goes.
Yeah. Well, no, there's truthers for that, Ed, by the way.
Yeah, oh, Sandusky. That was one of the guys I had. I think one of those guys was listening to the show and I had to block him.
Yeah, there's Sandusky trutherism out there. I feel like, I don't know if Alex Jones is involved. There's another guy that used to be a talk show host here in LA on the radio, and now he's dedicated his life to being a Sandusky truther.
And nobody, how many people cared that much about, it's not like Penn State was Alabama when this went down.
I don't know. Yeah, they know.
Like they weren't that big of a deal.
It's like a really small town, right? It's like that's the only thing they have. Is the only reason the town exists is because of the college, right?
And then, yeah, and then today it came out that his son just got busted for the same shit.
His adopted son.
Yeah, well.
You know, like that's learned.
Of course.
Behavior.
Of course.
That's what happens. It's all molesters and rapists. Somebody did it to them. It perpetuates itself. Mm-hmm. Speaking of coaches,
how's, I was wondering where you were going.
How's former St. Louis Billikens coach Rick Majerus doing these days?
He's still dead.
Dead. Did he die?
Yes,
I knew he was dead. There was I was trying to think somebody the other day that I'm not sure that if they're dead. Oh, fuck, it'll come to me. Okay, yes, Rick Majerus. So he's not coaching the Billikens anymore. Also, what's a Billiken? Is that a bird?
Well, their mascot looks like a devil. I don't know if Billiken is some sort of. Billiken. He looks like some sort of evil sprite looking thing. I don't know what it is. Creepy mascot.
The fuck's a Billiken? Okay.
Last week, the St. Louis University Billikens lost a road game at St. Bonaventure to drop the record to 8-16. When they're ready to load the bus to drive back to Missouri, they realized the bus driver had taken off. Thanks to one of the players' Find My iPhone app, they were able to track down the bus. And after a chase with New York State troopers 30 miles away, they were able to retrieve the bus and all its contents. The team first noticed the driver behaving erratically from the moment they were picked up from the airport yesterday, swerving and speeding through back roads, had trouble picking up the team at the right hotel entrance. Brian, we ask this a lot, but I'd like to know, what was the end game for this woman bus driver?
Well, she's a little off. She's clearly dealing with her own issues. Update. The Billikin is a charm doll created by an American art teacher and illustrator, Florence Pretz of Kansas City, Missouri, who is said to have seen the mysterious figure in a dream. Fuck! They need a mascot
like
after it?
Like leprechaun kind of?
It looks like a little cherub.
Yeah, it's creepy though. It's got like a devil smile, like a creepy smile.
Whose idea was this? Honestly. Also, this is a good time to bring this up because this is one of those things I always wondered about. How does that Find My iPhone app work? Like, the app is on your phone, and now it's in a bus somewhere.
Well, I think you have to have it. Maybe I don't know. I use that app probably once every other month when I can't find my phone in my house.
Shut up! You got that huge phone too. Like, how are you missing that thing?
When you put it down on the black screen.
Do you mistake it? You're like, oh my God, there's a second king-size bed in here. Oh no, wait, that's my phone.
No, but you know, it falls in the couch cushion or something, and you just don't find it. But then all you have to do is pull it up on your
laptop,
and then
device.
it plays a tone. It just beeps real loud, and then you find where it is. Because I have my phone on vibrate, so calling it, you can't always hear it.
Right.
But then it'll be like a loud, piercing thing that you'll find it quick.
Oh, that's tight. The problem is then you would have to be able to sign in to Find My iPhone on another device, and I'm 0 for 650,000 on sign-ins. I don't know what it is.
But you don't ever buy music?
I do buy music, and they make me sign in every time. They also make you sign in every single time you download a free app for some reason. And I screwed up. I don't know. I have one password that I use across all my devices, and it's always wrong. Always.
Speaking of which, I was at CVS this evening, and I've been using that my phone number for the whatever thing for 20 years.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't registering tonight.
No.
And the guy's like, "You sure you got the right number?" I was like, yeah, I've tried it a couple times, so I know it's the number. And he goes, maybe it's a different phone. People have different phones. I was like, yeah, I mean, I've been coming to CVS forever. I know which phone it is.
This
like,
fucking guy was trying to help you.
No, he's not.
You gotta be a real dick to him?
No, I was saying it's the problem with the thing.
Oh, the machine.
The machine. I was like, it's not my phone. My phone is my phone. It worked last night when I was here.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was also slim pickings in the Valentine's section.
Oh yeah. Well, you waited too long.
Whatever.
Brian hasn't transacted anything himself. I don't know why I'm making fun of you. Fuck big card. Fuck big Hallmark.
Well, I don't chew the cards. I just get one of those stupid hard chocolate boxes. Yeah. And then I'll get flowers tomorrow.
Oh,
but.
I'll do that too because this is my significant, my SO. She happens to like chocolate. I'm going to get her some. Good call. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, it's slim pickings.
Yeah.
The card bin, I think, I don't buy cards because it's so dumb. It's like, these cards cost like $5, so you can write.
Cards are so fucking expensive these days. It's a ridiculous ripoff. I'm anti-card.
And all that's left there are like the mahogany cards. And no offense, but, you know, it's like catering to...
mahogany? Like they're made out of wood?
No, that's the code for the urban card.
Really? There's an urban card section?
Yeah, like all the normal.
I would only buy those.
All the normal, and it's very specific. It'll be like, the only cards left are cards that are very, like, very specific ethnicities. It'll be like, you know, Valentine's Day for old Jewish ladies. It'll be very specific.
No, I get it.
Specific.
Yeah.
It'll be like, girlfriend, you don't need a man on this Valentine's
Day. Oh, I love that.
Like those cards.
Oh, yeah, get one of those. So,
anytime I buy cards, when I have, it's been one of those. Because that's at least funny. But yeah, like I saw because I had to pass by the card aisle, and it's like vultures have been through there. It's there's nothing on the on the shelves.
Fuck big card. Just do the candy.
Have you ever had like a cab driver or somebody Uber, somebody who wasn't right? Like, have you ever had a terrifying ride?
Yeah, I have.
It's one of those weird things where you are really out of control. Like you're just sitting there hoping not to die.
Yeah, I think I've always just been like so drunk that I was like kind of like a ride to me. Like, ha ha, holy shit! Like this guy just turned right from the left lane. Like this is great. But yeah, terrifying.
One time I was in San Francisco and the cabbie, I think, had dipped his floor mats in ether.
Oh, yeah.
And he was huffing. And he was like, he was way off. And we were flying over these hills in San Francisco.
Oh, like Dirty Harry. It was like streets of San Francisco.
Yeah, it was like it wasn't Trading Places. I mean, not Trading Places, 48 Hours. Also, some chase scenes. It was like one of those. Like, we were lifting off the ground. And the guy's like, ha, ha, ha. And it was like, oh, my God. We need to get the fuck out of here.
Dude, let me out. Let me the fuck.
So this lady was unhinged, but she didn't. If she wanted to just steal all the shit in the bus, first of all, it's a problem because she was the registered bus driver.
Yeah, it wasn't going to work out. No, she was crazy. Wasn't there a box of wine involved?
Maybe. I don't know. I didn't see it in this story, but I feel like maybe I read that somewhere. But like, you can't really go far in a giant bus with like the logo on it.
No, it's like hard to change lanes and stuff.
And you can't like just pull into a parking garage and like wait it out.
Like, no. What you need to do is do like Heat, where you rob the armored car in one car and then you race to somewhere else and then you get in another car. Or like The Town. The Town, a very overrated
movie. Oh yeah, I liked it.
It's good, but okay, here's an issue I have with it. They're like, hey, they're like, oh, some cops saw us robbing the bank. We'll just get to the bridge. Yeah? Well, like, what, cops can't chase you over the bridge?
Well, they were closing the bridge.
Oh, they're you
the like whole point
one of those
was
ones they open and close?
No. They were putting up a roadblock to not let them out. And so they were saying close the bridge. And if they could get past that roadblock,
then they're good to go. Then they're back into their town.
Right. And then they can disappear. And that's what they did. Really, and then they set their car on fire.
I mean, I liked it too. It's like a popcorn movie. It's good.
Yeah, well, the world needs those too. Speaking of good, Jeremy Renner, I put the kids to a good movie. That Lego Batman was pretty good.
I couldn't get my kid to go see it. It was raining this weekend. Fuck the rain. I've had enough.
It was as kids' movies go, it was solid.
We're in a drought, and now we have some dam in Northern California that's going to flood like seven towns. Like
I saw that they had evacuated like 200,000 people.
It's so hard to understand, but I couldn't get my kids like too cool to go see. I'm like, hey, there's like it's raining. Like, let's go see a movie. He's like, nah, I don't want to see that. He's like too cool for it. What a douche.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
I saw Will Arnett does the voice of of Batman. This guy's got a great voice, by the way. He does a lot of great voiceover commercials. Great voice.
He does like Chevy or something.
He's the voice of Chevy. But I saw him like doing the press tour for the junket for that movie. Yep. And I'm reminded, by far the best hair plugs in Hollywood. This guy was, when he was on...
He was on the fade.
He had practically no hair when he was on Arrested Development. And now... Full head, glorious hair, doesn't look like plugs. Like, everybody needs to go to the doctor that Will Arnett and or Matthew McConaughey went to, because these guys look fantastic. Yeah,
McConaughey's got a good situation. Yeah,
he's got a good set. He claims he didn't get plugs, but come on. He was going bald.
Well, he was bald in Time to Kill.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Guy was losing it bad. There's no remedy other than hair transplant. Okay, what else, Ed?
All right, we're gonna take this down to the fifth grade. Before a fifth grade Christian youth organization game this past week in Clark, New Jersey, St. John's was informed by
what county? What county is Clark in? Is
that in? No fucking. I've never even heard of it.
Hoboken County.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. They're
is that South Jersey? South Jersey's like the Philly suburbs, right?
Yeah, it might be North Jersey, like. Again, I pretty much pay attention to what my
exit.
Town.
Aren't you guys all into exits? Like 39, 38, 14.
I mean, I know the exit where my mom lives, and I know the exit where I live, but that's kind of everybody would have to know how to get home.
It's just numbers, it's not street names.
I don't know. Who talks? I don't know. That was one of those things that people would talk about. Oh, New Jersey's big into what exit? And like, I don't know. I never had that conversation. The turnpike. I just never had it.
The freeway is called the Turnpike. Yeah.
The Turnpike and the Parkway. There are two. Oh, one goes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One. It's like they make an X over the state. So it's like one goes from southwest to northeast, and one goes from northeast to southwest.
Oh, fantastic.
But there are a billion towns. New Jersey is, you know, has a ton of people, so it's a lot of towns. Who knows where fucking Clark could be three towns away, and I don't know it.
What about the Battle of Trenton?
Trenton makes the world takes.
That's where Trenton, George Washington, flanked.
It's the capital, but it's a place that nobody goes to.
He flanked Cornwallis, and he fucked him up there. Kicked the fucking redcoats out of Dodge.
Yeah, and like in fifth grade, I think that's when Trenton. We like learned all New Jersey history.
Yeah.
Like a lot of Revolutionary War shit.
Amazing. Okay.
All right.
What were you saying?
We're going regional again. We're going regional again.
Love it.
So anyway, Clark, New Jersey, the CYO league director, Rich Donovan, told St. John's that the boys team had two girls on the team.
Yep.
And they were not allowed to play or the game would be a forfeit.
Oh, my fucking God.
Apparently, another Christian school complained about having to play against a co-ed team, which is strictly against the rules. And so then Donovan made the decision to tell them the girls have to go. And so in response to the ultimatum, all 11 kids opted to forfeit the rest of the season and say, fuck you.
Heroes.
A last-minute appeal was filed but shot down. The Christian youth organization does not believe in 11-year-old kids playing sports together. So... Brian, I want to know.
Because of Jesus?
I guess so.
Jesus doesn't like it?
I wanted to know where this anti-co-ed rule ranks in the weird Christian rule book. Is this above or below Deuteronomy 25:11-12? When men fight with one another and the wife of the one draws near to rescue her husband from the hand of him who is beating him and puts out her hand and seizes him by the private parts, then you shall cut off her hand. Also, would this be above or below Leviticus 19:27? Ye shall not round the corners of your heads.
How would you even do that? Like with a haircut?
I think that means you're not allowed to get a haircut.
Because you have a pretty round head, Ed. You have a nice round. You have like a buzz cut. You've got a nice round head.
I used to. I haven't had one.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You got your wife made you get a proper haircut. Okay. Is that it? Do you have any more of those?
No, what's, I mean, what's the one
where
like
you're, if your neighbor does something, you're required to go over to his porch and kill a bull.
Yeah. And one of them, I think you have to boil a goat in milk or something. Like there's a couple. I mean, every once in a while when these stories come up, just Google weird Christian rules or weird Bible rules. And they're endless. Like, I think all men are technically, if you wanted to say the Bible has to be followed, like technically, I think all men have to walk with a cane.
Oh, really?
So, like, there are lots of weird shit.
Oh, like you're not Moses. Allowed to shave. Moses had not a allowed staff. To shave.
Yeah, you have to have a staff. You're not allowed to shave.
Oh, I
would you're not allowed to wear certain textiles on certain days. It's a lot of rules.
Natural fibers. I would be getting no butt if I had to not shave. If I was required not to shave, there would be no ass coming my way. Because I would look fucked up. Because it only grows in little patches, and it's very wispy and puby.
Mm.
It's awful. I shave like every other day. Just about every other day, because it starts to grow in, but it grows in very patchy. And if I had to grow a beard, like as if it was a rule of my religion to grow a beard, I'd have to kill myself because I would just look too hideous. Not a man.
It's just yet another reminder that there may be something out there. Who knows? But yeah. Every one of your religions are stupid. Like if you That's just true. Think about it, they're all stupid.
Yeah,
incredibly stupid. That's right. Every single one.
Yeah,
like people love to shit on Scientology and Mormons.
It's just because it's newer.
They're newer, so like they're just easier to disprove.
Yeah.
You know, stuff to disprove when like nothing is recorded during that era, but they're all dumb. They're all incredibly dumb.
Yeah.
Don't ever forget that.
It's just a means of controlling people, isn't it?
It's like, I mean, I had to go to like all the way to confirmation. I took every one of those classes that I had.
Oh yeah. You're Irish. Yeah.
My mom goes to church every day.
I know.
Waste time.
You should interview your mom sometime or just have a conversation with her and then let us play it on the show.
She'll say stuff like, I don't know, Edward. What am I supposed to do?
That's hilarious. I'm very fascinated on your relationship with your mother.
It's what I've been doing my whole life. What am I supposed to give it all up?
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense.
Quit going to church.
Yeah. She goes like every day. So it's just so – I mean, I had to take all these classes, and the shit they would teach you is bad shit. It doesn't make any sense.
It's crazy. This I'm reminded, though. This is the second story we've done about an issue with co-ed sports where some other school had some religious issue with there being girls on the team. And I think in the story that we just did, they were like in fifth grade or something. How about people get the fuck over youth sports? How about you just let the kids go out there and play and you just sit down and shut the fuck up? And if somebody does something good, you clap. And if somebody makes a mistake, you just shut the fuck up. And guess what? Your kid, if you're within the sound of my voice, your kid is not going to do anything professionally.
Nothing.
Unless he's just a massive beast that's outpacing everyone, like unless it's like not fair that he's playing against the kids he's playing with because he's so good,
right? There's no chance. You ever see clips of when they're like, "Oh, here was Marshall Faulk in high school," and he's like just doing circles around everyone on the field.
Yeah,
like you have to be that much better. Like, there's no. Just being the best kid on your team, that doesn't mean shit.
There's like a famous state championship game where St. John Bosco, I can't remember the name, and I know a couple of people that went there. Oh, De La Salle. This is famous high school.
De La Salle, I've heard of.
Yeah, it's up north in Concord. They had Maurice Drew.
Yep.
And they like just didn't use him. Like, apparently there was no film or anything, or maybe they pretended he was hurt, and they would just, like, let the game stay close, and then they brought him out in the second half, and in, like, eight plays, he had 400 yards and four touchdowns.
Yeah, it's insane anytime you see a pro athlete, like, youth footage.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've coached, at this point, I've coached or watched lots of kids. Yeah. I've never seen one that's going
Calm down. I read this whole thing where they're like, how, like, some psychologist is like, your kid does not want to know that you, like, they're not as competitive as you. And so when they come off the field, you just ask them two questions, or you ask them one question. Did you have fun?
Right.
That's all you want to know. Did you have fun? That's all that matters. You got the only people that are competitive are the stupid ass parents. You guys are all fucked. You guys are all dumb. Like, just get over it. Stop trying to relive your shit through your kid. Just let them have a good time. Make sure they can throw the football so they don't look like a pussy. But also, don't worry about it. Who cares?
I told one of the parents, I'm coaching basketball right now, third grade basketball.
Hero. Those games are like 6-4.
Yeah. Well, my team is loaded with a couple scores, so we're putting up like 20.
Got a couple.
But anyway, it's not my son. He's terrible. But I made the mistake of talking to one of the parents before, like, maybe the first practice. And I said point blank that I didn't care if we won or lost. Like, I was going to play it I said, it doesn't really matter. As long as everybody's getting playing time.
Let everybody play. Yeah.
And the parent looked at me and was like, what? And I was like, yeah, ideally I'd like to win every game. But, like, if that means I'm going to only play the same five kids and everybody's watching, like, no, these kids are 8 and 9 years old. They're not going to be riding the bench the whole game.
Like, I bet you anything in this story we're talking about, the co-ed team, the girls were the better players. At least one of them was probably the best player on the team, guaranteed. Not even a question.
Definitely in the third grade league, like, one of the best players in the entire league is a girl, for sure.
Yeah. Not
girls, sure. Girls are good athletes at that point. Like, no, at the early ages, they are the dominant figures.
Totally. I've seen them out there on the soccer field kicking ass. They mature faster.
Yep.
Their brains, their bodies. Ed, have you ever heard of gold farming?
Is that the new Matthew McConaughey? Is in that? Like, something, a thing about being a gold, what is that, like, gold discovery?
I don't know. Remember, like, when you're supposed to, like, buy gold and everybody was buying gold? It used to trade shit.
Yeah, well, I was in the commodities. Well, I wasn't working with the commodities.
Same difference, right? Like,
well, there's the famous scene and the best moment in Trading Places where they're explaining the commodities and they go, pork bellies, this would be used for bacon, like when you'd have a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. Yeah. And Eddie Murphy just looks at the camera. Yes. That's the best.
Yeah. Well, that's what I thought gold farming was. I thought it was like, hey, you try to get some gold and just like farm it or something. I don't know. Well, that's not what it is, Ed. It's way nerdier. It's the practice of hiring low-wage, as in 50 cent per hour employees, to gather money. And this should be in quotes. I'm going to do air quotes. To gather money in online games, then selling it to players for real world cash.
Think about that for a second. Are you talking about like Super Mario Brother coins?
Yes.
Type things?
Yes. I mean, for all intents and purposes, yes.
I'm saying like fake video game money.
Yeah. I don't know, like, when you turn off the game, doesn't the money go away? Is this a cloud situation? Like, your money goes in the cloud?
Yeah, it's probably cloud, because I don't understand it. But yeah, it's one of those things that you can get more power, you can jump higher or something, like, if you have more coins.
Like Dungeons & Dragons, where you have, like, a stronger character. My elf is stronger than your wizard.
I never understood. There's no
way an elf could be stronger than a wizard, by the way.
Yeah, fuck no. And I never understood
me either.
Dungeons and Dragons. Like, aren't these all characters that people made up?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Yes.
I think just make one stronger. Yeah, wouldn't you just be like, oh, by the way, my guy is like 50 times stronger now. Forgot to tell you. He's the strongest person who ever lived.
Yeah.
How's that work?
I don't know. Have you ever heard of Magic the Gathering? It's a card game.
That was the thing we were talking. There was a story about Magic the Gathering like a year.
People got jacked for their cards. And it's like you buy cards and then you come play with your cards and you can have stronger cards than the other people. I don't fucking get that. Anyway, okay. So gold farming. Oh, wait, I already said that. So I'm going to give you a list of people. This is a game. I'm going to give you a list of people and you tell me which one of these people would have been a CEO of a shady gold farming company.
Okay. So it's a shady gold. Yeah. Because they're paying it's a shady low business. Wages.
Yeah, they're getting like Bangladeshis to right. go
to,
online.
To just dominate video games right. and then collect, sell off their.
And then they sell it. Okay. A, Bill Gates.
Nah, he doesn't need that shit.
B, Steve Jobs, RIP.
He wouldn't need that.
C, Warren Buffett.
Again,
hero.
Just not worth his time.
Guy's so fucking rich. Yeah. Lives a just modest wise. Life.
He's a wise man.
Smart. He knows what to do. He always knows the best thing to do. D, Steve Bannon.
the guy who looks like he's transitioning into being a werewolf.
Oh my god.
From Robert Redford's Fats body double.
Best tweet I think I've ever read is the great Dave Hill on Twitter said on the when they were talking about Steve Bannon, who's big in the news when he got named to the transition team or whatever. He said, on the bright side, Steve Bannon looks like he's riddled with blood clots.
That's our president. That's our president.
Bannon served as the CEO of Affinity, which is a among other things.
This is pre-Breitbart?
Yeah, a gold farming company. Yeah, until 2011 when he moved on to work for Breitbart. Ed, what's the most unseemly thing about Steve Bannon? Is it besides his visage, obviously, which would be the chalk in any most disturbing contest? Is it his Nazi sympathizing, his alleged domestic abuse, or the fact that he's a gamer?
It's amazing because this gamer thing is not even close to the worst thing he's done.
No.
Like, Breitbart is absolute garbage. That's like InfoWars with Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Similar. It's crazy stuff.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I know. Ed, we are – this is a lucky day for us because it's finally time. We've been separated for far too long. We had our very special third party to this talk show. You know, a lot of times people will – send an email, they'll say Brian, Ed, and Kate. And oftentimes, Kate's not here to answer those emails. She's been gone for the last couple weeks. She's been out of pocket. She's been waylaid.
I have to let you guys fill my absence sometimes.
That's right.
Well, hey, Kate.
She's
Ed.
Here now. Kate should have been here earlier because she's very anti-anthem. She hates anthems, right? Are you?
What?
Oh, my God. She can't believe it. When they do the anthem, she's like, what the fuck is this?
I thought you were saying she didn't like her theme music. Oh, you're saying like the dumb national anthems.
Yeah, she's not.
Like
she's,
when they have to sing it before every fucking sport. Sam does my head in.
Yeah, she cannot
stand. And what I was saying is these are never good songs.
No, they're bad. Well, other so than bad. Oh Canada, which is
Oh Canada gorgeous. Is a great song.
Know.
Great song.
I mean, when I hear the Australian national anthem, like at the Olympics, it does.
Timey kangaroo down sport.
You know, like I get some feelings.
Timey kangaroo down sport. Timey kangaroo down. Is that
I
it?
Wish you could see.
Is it Waltzing Matilda?
Yeah,
I think it is Waltzing Matilda. Yeah.
Waltzing Matilda.
It's so folk songy. But it's, you know, our country's fairly new and sort of parochial.
It's not Beds Are Burning by
a bit sweet.
Midnight Oil. Peter Garrett, Midnight Oil. Is he the president?
When I was in eighth grade, I stayed over at my friend's house, who was an only child who had – her parents were, like, older.
Vintage.
You know, like
vintage
the,
folks.
You know, the
get away
parents.
With anything.
So you can get
and
away with life.
They let her do whatever she wants.
Yeah.
She went to a
Love
different
that.
High school.
Gah.
So I would stay at her house, and her parents let us go and sleep. This was before, like, the internet. So midnight – we slept out on the sidewalk in sleeping bags – overnight
on the street,
well, like outside. No, it was like I think it was like in the on the pavement around the the big patio. Car park, yeah. The parking lot. Yeah. And so we slept out overnight to get Midnight Oil tickets.
Oh, sick.
Because that's how you got tickets.
Midnight Oil, yeah. Oh, I did that many times, but to see Rush and the Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
Oof.
I know. I didn't know no better. I've been thinking about writing a column on bands I used to like before I knew better.
That would be funny.
Because I used to, like, I used to really like Jane's Addiction. And now I look back and I'm like, oh my God, what was I thinking? Like, why did I like that?
So funny.
Okay, we got to catch up on some.
I did like Jane's Addiction too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I like Jane's Addiction.
Yeah, well, go back and listen to it. Like, you don't album. Anymore. You don't anymore.
I don't know. I don't have opinions on it. You're much stronger opinions. Some bands just fade and I don't think about
it. What was that 3 days song that was like 15 minutes long?
Yeah.
Yeah. We used to play that a lot.
Yes. Yeah, I know it. Okay, so while you were gone, lots of people were sending very creepy things to you, and well, not that creepy, but we got to catch up on
all my creepy fans.
We got to catch up on Kate's emails quickly. Why does Kate hide the Aussie accent?
Oh, I don't hide it.
Hold on, that's not that. Okay. The email's not done. It sneaks through every now and then, and it sounds awesome. She should just be herself and do everything in full Aussie. Just a request, but she should at least do it every now and then. Why hide it? It's the best accent in the world. She does a great job hiding it. I can only imagine how silly I sound.
He wants you to be stereotypical. Like, he wants you to just say shrimp on the Barbie and stuff like that.
That's what she says. Trying an Aussie accent. I would sound ridiculous.
Didgeridoo.
Seriously, give it a little thought. I'm sure there's a reason she does it. He's really going through all the thoughts. Goodness. He's having a catharsis.
Oh, this is a Jamie Gumm one.
But
this is Buffalo Bill.
But I'd either like an answer as to why she hides it or hear the real thing more often. Thanks in advance. And no, I'm not jacking off to it. It just sounds awesome. That's from Toby. Why is that, Kate?
Hey, Toby.
Kate, you're from a place where the people from
really hard to explain.
WA don't have really strong accents.
No, that's true. It's hard to explain. I've lived here for a really long time.
Yep.
20 odd years.
The States.
And I think that unless I'm around another person that's speaking in my, like, native. Yes.
Right.
Tongue.
You sound mostly Australian when you're talking to another Australian.
I just very easily morph into the American.
That's right.
Sounding.
That's right.
But get me around some Aussies.
Yep.
On the phone.
So it's like when Oprah would have a black guest on, exactly. And she would all of a sudden sound completely different.
Yeah.
So I'm not deliberately trying to hide it.
Yes.
But I just have to think about more if I want it to kind of come through.
Well, Toby would like you to sound more Aussie.
Because I have two accents, and Toby. That's the answer.
Have you read that? Have you read and sent him that Declaration of Independence?
I haven't because I think it's like 20 minutes long or something.
Yes.
I have very, very little time.
He's requested that you do that.
Toby, I have very little bandwidth and you've
requested. Oh, yeah. That was so creepy.
You've requested I read
it's
something that's
creepy.
Very long.
He wants –
Can I maybe do like a truncated version or just
document.
Like a bit of it?
Yes.
Maybe like your
maybe
favorite
just the
bit?
First, maybe just the first paragraph.
Yeah.
But what was this for?
It's just he loves
I'm not sure
he
what
loves
he wants to
that
do with it. He wants me to read
celebrates
it.
That document.
He wants
There's
me to read it
that.
In my in a various.
It places the lotion in the basket.
Okay, here's another one.
I said I would. I've been out of town.
Yes.
I went
you'll catch up.
Yeah, I was in the nation's capital.
Oh, that's right, DC.
Yeah, my Photoshop skills were. Required for a top secret
nice
job.
Is that true? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you doing birth certificates?
I do some crowd work.
Oh, interesting. You add some, yeah, make
Maybe.
Some crowds where there weren't
I really can't
any?
Say.
Yes. Okay. Email number two. Oh, these are fun. Fancy is taking a hike in the foothills on a hot summer day. She sees
this is Buffalo Bill.
But wrong. That would never happen.
She sees a small natural wading pool and decides it is a good time to take a rest. Roll a joint. Hold on.
I don't know how to roll anything.
This is fancy on a hike.
I take my bong with me?
Yeah. Roll a joint and burn one before continuing on the trail. She hears splashing and voices and notices two topless beauties at each end of the serene pool. Oh, I love this. It really sets the scene. At one point is Mila Kunis lathering up a soapy bar over her bare top. At the other end, Olivia Wilde has removed her top and dipped into the water to cool herself from the day's heat. The actresses get a whiff of Fancy's joint and, startled, quickly hop out of the water, giving Fancy a brief moment to glance at the goods of one or the other. To whom does she pick? Oh, this is a canned conundrum.
Mila Kunis.
Oh, really? Mila Kunis and Olivia
Wilde. Or Olivia Wilde. Oh,
Mila Kunis.
Yeah, Olivia Wilde showed her.
I've seen Olivia Wilde's boobs.
She was on vinyl.
On vinyl.
Yeah.
So
she's very
all sorted there.
She's very tiny little breasts.
Yeah, I feel like Mila probably does too.
Too. Yeah.
I'm a fan of both, but this is no question for me. This
Mila although Kunis. Mila Kunis is yeah. she? I can't keep up. Is she pregnant? She just had another child.
I'm not sure. I'm not up on that, but if she's just had a child, they're probably
milk jugs,
lactating, just filled with glorious Brian's milk, favorite. Delicious milk.
So gross, Mom. If you're listening, I'm sorry.
That's from our buddy Pete. Pete, thanks, that's Pete. A fantastic email. I love that game.
Brian really loves that.
And finally, this is from Ish.
Uh huh.
Oh wait, there's a couple more. Hello. If you had to give up one of these things for the rest of your life, what would it be? Sex, alcohol, sports, TV/movies. Note, sports is off the board for Kate. That's from Ish. Ed, why don't you go first? What would you give up?
I wouldn't be happy about it, but I would give up booze.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other things I could not go without.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't watch a lot of sports, but I like to, like, eventually the Dodgers are going to win the World Series again. And I would like to be aware of that when that happens.
To be alive.
Yeah. I would like to be alive for that. When my Bruins make a run at the NCAA championship this year.
The problem with other things is the longer you live, the more you've seen every story. Like, that's why when there's a good show out, it's like great because it's something different. If you just turn on an ordinary sitcom, you've seen every episode of everything that's ever happened. Sports is one of the things you still don't know what will happen.
Who knows what's going to happen? Like that Super Bowl. It was crazy. I would also have to say alcohol. I basically have given up alcohol. I've had two glasses of whiskey on Saturday night. I had one of the worst nights sleep of my life. Every time I drink, unless I get blotto, I sleep like complete shit every time I drink. I can barely drink anymore. And I remember like my uncle telling me, he's like, oh, you're still drinking beer. This is like a few years ago. And I'm like, yeah, why? And he's like, well, he's like one beer. He's like, I get a little head change. He's like two flu-like symptoms. Three, I'm in bed the entire next day.
From beer?
From beer. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And now I get what he's talking about. If I have three beers, I, you know, feel fine. Then I get a shitty night's sleep and I feel like hell the next day. I feel awful. So I've nearly given up alcohol except for special occasions.
I wouldn't say I'm there, but yeah, still, if I have to choose one, it's
harder
to
drink. It's harder to drink, is all I'm saying. Kate McManus, your thoughts? You're a huge sports fan.
Who could forget sports?
Who could forget your explanation of the game of cricket last time you were on the show?
I guess sex.
What? Oh, I doubt that. I doubt that.
This wasn't the ringing endorsement we were hoping
for. How dare you?
I'm not giving up anything.
Oh, look at you. Okay, one more email. Ballers, I want to thank you all for the life coaching in response to my question about names for children. My wife and I were able to use your coaching to successfully pick a name that we could both agree upon. I sit writing this as an episode of Ed's favorite show, Flip or Flop, is on in the background. Considering Tarek and Christina are often flipping houses in the area of the Baller Lifestyle headquarters, shouldn't Brian and Fancy try to attend one of their open houses during the weekend, their weekend of antiquing? I'd love to hear all about all of Tarek's deals from Brian and Fancy's firsthand experience. Lastly, if I never talk about hear talk about sanitary napkins again, it'll be too soon. Keep it baller. That's from Ben906. I don't know that we're ever going to run into Tarek and Christina, who Ed loves, from Flipper Flop, but they are local to us. I believe they have boat. I believe they have a big yacht.
Oh, really?
Down the harbor in Newport, yeah.
Who gets the yacht, I wonder?
I don't know. I think that's a bone of contention.
Yeah.
Okay, Kate, what is going on in the world of pop culture?
Well, speaking of Tarek and Christina, apparently they don't want to get let a little thing like divorce get in the way of their ability to cash in on Flipper Flop.
That's right.
Despite the fact that apparently during filming they both have dread written all over their
really
face. Yeah, I might need to watch it.
That would be kind of hard.
I guess that they were in Vegas on Friday at an investors summit telling the audience how they turned their home improvement idea into a burgeoning business.
Yeah, they sent a tape.
Yeah, so I guess, I guess they're still working together. And they hate each other's guts. So
yeah, that would be hard to do.
Yeah.
Ed, what are your thoughts on Tarek and Christina Flipper Flop? How do you feel the new season's going to be? You got it DVR'd?
Every time that happens, when like you hear of co-stars breaking up, it's got to be weird. How do you work with somebody
crazy
after the relationship's over? I can't imagine it works.
Yes. No.
I've been in offices where like there once was a romance and it's super awkward, but it's not like they have to do everything together for a show like that. Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen it, but I imagine they're just together the whole time.
Tarek and Christina LLC. And this Tarek, he's got to just be like looking at her and just picturing her getting worn out by that contractor.
It's like, I remember, I think Dexter, I used to watch that show.
Oh, they were married.
His sister on the show, they were married, and then they got divorced, and she still played his sister.
Yes.
The whole thing, it was weird that they were.
That was weird.
Yeah.
You knew they were having sex, but then they were brother and sister on the show, and then they broke up, and you're like, what? This is weird.
That is very awkward. A lot of on-set romances that we don't even know about. Okay, good luck to Tarek and Christina. Well, this is a big topic on this show.
This will make everybody happy, I have a feeling. Playboy is bringing nudity back.
Oh, thank God.
what a dumb idea that was.
It was so stupid. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
After the Men's Lifestyle magazine stopped featuring nude pics in 2015, they are coming back with Playboy's March-April issue this year, featuring a topless playmate, Elizabeth Elam, as Miss March.
Thank God.
Along with the headline... Naked is normal, and it is.
There is room in the world. Like, if there's going to be periodicals, there's
a problem
room in the
with
world for this.
Playboy and this Cooper Hefner's son.
Yes,
recognized it. He said, "I'll be the first to admit that the way in which the magazine portrayed nudity was dated, but nudity was never the problem, and it's not a problem. It's just that it was being portrayed in that very like." Gross, cheesy, dated porno way, and so they're going to update the whole.
Interesting.
Style,
well,
which
what can
I'm
you do?
All for.
Here's what I liked about
like women that are all airbrushed and like you know like waxed everywhere. Calm down.
That's what I didn't like.
Calm down.
What I did like about Playboy is the sort of, and this is what they made their bones on, is the sort of girl next door, like girls of the. Pac-10.
Oh, those were the best, the college ones.
They would just get randos from colleges with big, natural titties. And it's
I knew
like,
a girl.
Yeah.
I knew a girl who was in the Girls from the ACC edition, and she was at Maryland.
Yeah.
And she was one of those ones that didn't actually get naked.
I hate that. There's always one or two of those.
And so, like, we heard, oh, this girl is going to be a Playboy. I was all excited. She was wearing the button down that was completely unbuttoned, but each side was covering up both tits.
Awful.
So you saw nothing.
Yeah. Brutal. I mean, these days, every co-ed pretty much is a cam girl on the side or is like an escort. because that's like a way to make money. But there's room in between. You know what I mean. There's room for the sort of innocent nudity that Playboy used to represent. And let's hope they get back to that.
Yeah, and another thing they're going to eliminate, or they actually did with their latest issue, is the phrase on the cover, entertainment for men. Just dated and cheesy.
Oh, because lesbians buy it too?
Well, it's just like, why do women's nudity have to like constitute only entertainment?
Hang on a second. I get what you're saying with all the airbrush bullshit, but at the same time, like, women weren't reading Playboy.
No.
I mean, it's like Cosmo is a women's magazine, and like, that's fine. Like,
I think we just trying to reshape
or
the way that we look at women's sexuality. It doesn't have to be like this perfect airbrushed, like wax to the tits airbrushed. Like, look.
It's like Playgirl.
Yeah.
That's not a
magazine. I have to be honest. Women. I really did used to like Playboy, but
I used to have a subscription.
I used to have a subscription, and like the final few years, I barely ever looked at the nude pictures because
they got on the celebrity train.
Well, but also the internet, like it's a different era. Like, do I need to wait to see a naked posed airbrush picture?
Yeah.
Like that, they did have good articles, but why I stopped was because like the big Playboy interview would be with like a WWE person. Yes. It was like, this isn't a big interview for me. Like, I don't care.
That's the thing. Like, if you want to read a profile of Danny DeVito, you're like, oh, maybe I'll read it. Yeah, I kind of want to read this about Danny DeVito. And then also, like, when you finish the profile, you can look at like a 23-year-old girl's ass and boobies, you're more prone to read that profile of Danny DeVito.
Right.
And I agree.
They did have good journalism, but the nudity thing, it's just, I don't know. I think the internet made it so like, who gives a shit one way or the other?
Always. They need to double down on the writing, but also have some naked chicks in there.
Well, yeah, they would have some short stories from like
good offers. Nudity that's portrayed in like a fresher, more interesting like way than all the like porno images on the internet. Right.
Yeah, but Playboy was never like that. Playboy never showed like labia.
You know
they didn't. It was they didn't
the style.
That wasn't
the style
Hustler.
Of the pictures. The way the girls were portrayed. It's that real porny, like real airbrush, real overly waxed.
Yeah,
just like the way it was lit. Just like gross. Like just
Texas.
It was just gross. Everything was gross about
it. It was very tame.
It's not. It wasn't sexy. Sorry.
No. Well, maybe it'll be sexy now.
Maybe.
What's next, Kate?
Bring sexy back, Playboy. Jeter's having a baby. He's 42.
I saw a picture of him. Hannah's it looks 26. Like maybe he's the one pregnant.
Has he gotten fat? They all get fat after they retire.
Around his face, he looks like he's got a lot of baby weight.
Speaking of somebody, like, I don't want Playboy to start doing celebrities, but this Mrs. Jeter, Hannah Jeter.
Oh, I haven't seen her.
What a piece of ass. You've seen her. She's like Sports Illustrated swimsuit. She did DirecTV commercials for a while. She is.
She's pretty.
You recognize her.
So they're having a baby girl.
She is banging.
Congratulations, Jeter.
Good job, Jeets.
The one thing you can't say about him is he certainly sampled all the goods. It's not like he could say, well, he hasn't sewn up his oats. Like that guy just ran a train on New York City.
He's tried it all out.
Yeah,
basically.
He's 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every starlet.
He did all the tryouts.
Every model.
He did all the baseball tryouts.
Everyone.
All the
tryouts.
Everyone.
Mariah Carey before she ate Mariah Carey.
Right.
Like every person.
Yes. He didn't have a lot of trouble keeping his bed warm.
You know who's not having a baby?
Who's that?
Australian model Miranda Carr and her Snapchat CEO, 26-year-old billionaire fiancé, Evan Spiegel.
Yes.
You don't want to know why? Apparently, they're not having and have not had sex.
What? Come on. That's a lie. That's a lie.
What?
That's a lie.
I guess she announced this week that they're not having sex. A London Times article, Carr asks writer Richard Goodwin if he's having another child. He says not right now. And then she asks him what he uses for contraception. What? And then offers up a detail about her own sex life. I don't, she yelps and begins to laugh. So he says that's really traditional, and she winces. We can't. I mean, we're just waiting. So weird.
Oh, that's not
Chris,
true.
Like Christian is there, or, no, is one of them like a hardcore God squatter?
She used to fuck,
I don't know about
she's
Evan.
To fuck Bieber.
I don't know about Evan. No. But I don't think she
and
does.
Well, maybe Evan. Maybe Evan saw, because this chick used to be married to Orlando Bloom, who over the summer we saw paddling
saw his oar
paddleboard with his dong.
Like, oh my goodness!
This guy,
well, she's seen him naked. This, they just haven't.
This guy is put together, and maybe this Evan Spiegel is concerned that he doesn't measure up.
No, it'll be something weird
to that.
It'll
he's,
be something
he's getting treatments
weird,
to, so he can
you.
Measure up.
This, I mean, it's not an accident that Orlando Bloom went pantsless in front of paparazzi. Like it was right. all
That's
it was
not
all,
the move I would do.
Maybe he's like taunting this Evan Spiegel. Like, look at this piece I'm working here.
You guys are all so worried about like penis size and like dick envy.
No,
like,
I'm just trying to project see what's going on with
project
Evan Spiegel.
To the story.
Yeah.
I don't pretend to be the first in a situation like that, but if you see Orlando Bloom.
Yeah,
it would. What he was working with his baby maker.
Yeah,
it would be a tough one to get past.
Yes, it would. I do pretend. It's
like,
first.
Oh no,
I pretend it's my first time every time. What else, Kato?
Would you guys be surprised to hear? Remember the Wizard of Oz and all the Munchkin actors? There was tons of them, right?
Yeah, every year
they rounded up every little person.
Every year,
and they're still alive. Some of them, right?
Yeah, every
now,
year one of them dies.
One alive. Yes. He's 97.
Yeah.
Apparently
that movie was made in the 30s, and it scares the living shit out of me.
It's very scary, and apparently
those munchkins
were very naughty and not very well behaved.
Yeah.
And were basically molesting poor little Judy Garland.
Oh, really?
Getting drunk.
That's why she had to get on the pills.
Yeah, like feeling her up all the time.
Shut up.
Like roping her under her skirt.
Yes.
We referee friend. The gropey.
Yes.
A grumpy
wow,
guilt.
Unbelievable. I mean, I don't know any little people, but I could picture them being real pervy like that. I don't know.
That's so terrible.
Especially when they're all in a pack.
I think of all the disabilities or, you know, birth defects, like that's got to be the roughest one because everything you do is a reminder that the world is not for you.
Yes.
I mean,
like it's not designed for your size. Like everything. The seats on subway train, like everything is just much more labor intensive for you.
Yes, totally. It's bullshit. Ed, have you seen Christopher Guest's Mascots? It's on Netflix.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Pretty funny.
I haven't checked it out.
There's some little person humor in that.
I can tell you that when I was like in my late 20s, that wee man from Jackass, very gropey.
Jason Acuna.
Would just get wasted at parties and be very gropey.
Is this allegedly, or have firsthand?
I'm telling you.
Oh, yes.
Firsthand experience.
Well, I don't think that's a symptom. There's probably a lot of guys that get drunk. I don't think that's a symptom of dwarfism, gropiness.
No. But I feel like in those movies, he was always hitting it hard, too. Like, he seems like he gets sauced a lot.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't take much. If you only weigh 87 pounds or whatever.
I saw a pre-Game of Thrones, a shit-faced Peter Dinklage time.
Oh, really?
My buddy and I saw him. Because he was in something else somewhat recently, so I knew who he was.
Yeah.
And
he's a New York guy.
Yes. He was just at a bar in the West Village. My buddy, maybe it was like right after Elf or something. He was in it. And he was just clobbered. He wasn't groping anyone because
he was shifted.
Just like when you see somebody stumble out of a bar and going in every like pinballing in every direction, that was him.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Interesting. Yeah, seen a bit of a trend here. Very interesting. Kate, anything else?
That's all. That's all for now.
Fantastic. So good to have you back.
So good to be back.
In
and I just want to say,
yes.
Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Yeah.
Yes.
And do us all a favor. Lay off the social media posts to your special someone.
Oh, that's a great
put it
point.
In a $5 CVS card.
Yeah.
Instead.
Fuck Big Hallmark.
Food for thought.
Go to Mahogany.
Yeah.
but we had an Australian family over our home for dinner on Saturday.
Oh, how did they?
And they're like,
burn
we're
the
aware
place down?
of, we're aware of Valentine's Day, but like yeah. they were confused about like the kids in class. Like,
yeah,
how
we don't do that. Like, it's so
what is going on? Yeah. And trying to explain it,
it's like, really weird.
It's a complete bullshit holiday because if you're in love already, well, then you've already you've already made it. You're happy.
And then it's a Hallmark holiday.
If you're in a bad relationship, yeah. Valentine's Day is just a bummer of a day because like it's just a reminder. If you're not in a relationship, then it's like, oh shit, I don't have anyone on Valentine's Day. It's a complete bullshit holiday.
My stepdaughter was outraged that she had to go to school and have a test on Valentine's Day. Yeah. And I was like, what's wrong with you?
Yes.
Valentine's Day is nothing. It's stupid. Kids. I was like, it's sweet that you write your little friends a Valentine in class.
Yeah, it's cute.
That's very cute.
Eat your Hershey's Kiss, show. Yeah.
But like, that's all it is. And that's what it's for. Yeah. It's for like elementary school kids.
Yes.
And that's when it should end.
Yes.
It's stupid. Drives me crazy.
It's crazy. Okay. Excellent job. I feel like we have new Patreon subscribers, but since you've been waylaid lately, you probably don't have the access to that information right now, do you?
I can't remember the last with Joe Lambert.
Oh.
If I have not shouted you out, thank you.
Love you, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
I love Joe Lambert. Chris
edited.
That sounds like a man's name.
Chris bumped his pledge up.
Oh, Chris.
Very nice of you.
Yes.
Wow, Chris. Somebody's coming to him with some money.
I really don't remember Matthew Richards. I believe you're
Matt,
a new Patreon.
You are a
welcome to the fam.
Row.
Thank you.
And I think I might have shouted Justin Lee out already, but if I haven't.
Jay Lee.
Welcome.
Yeah, I think you shouted
thank
him
you.
Out already, but
you're my
thanks.
Hero.
Yeah.
You're all heroes.
Love you guys.
Thank you,
welcome
guys.
Welcome to the club full of heroes.
So special.
If you are – oh, see, all those guys whose names she just mentioned, Kate just mentioned, they all are going to go – after they listen to this, they're going to go to patreon.com/theballerlifestyle, and they're going to hear someone be very embarrassed by a voicemail they left me in the year 2000. The year 2000, this message was left on my parents' answering machine for me. Somehow she was able to get that number. Leave me a message. And if you go to patreon.com/theballerlifestyle right now and you are contributing at the $5 level, you will be able to hear this call. For the rest of you,
so excited.
Thank you very much for listening. This has been episode 155 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. For the great Ed Daly, for the fantastic Kate McManus, I'm Brian Beckner. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
I've been alone with you for a long while, but you don't seem to get the things that's on my mind. I think it's time to let my freak flag fly. And oh, is the thing I'm looking for. Can't you reach between my thighs? Are you really that senile? My pants are at my ankles and my cock's unoccupied. And I don't know what to say, 'cause you haven't got a clue. But help me cure this case of my balls blue.